Hey, everybody. Welcome to Trashy Divorces, our Trashy Royals on Wednesday edition. I'm Alicia.
My name's Stacy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
On this week of Trashy Royals, we're pulling out a, I would say, a fan favorite, Stacy.
This is a fan favorite for sure.
This is from our Patreon. Our Trashy Tudor series originally aired September of 2019. But today, for our subject, it's a really good one. We're going back to the 14th century.
Get loud!
Oh my God. Yes, because A Knight's Tale is the best movie ever. We're going to be talking about Isabella of France today.
When you think Isabella, you think of France.
You think of hype and jousting for real.
I promise, this story is amazing.
It really is a pretty
super
fun one.
Entertaining.
Isabella of France is a daughter of France and a queen of England whose historical record was a little marred after time. There's a lot of trash. This is not your average boring 14th century history class.
No.
It is sort of trashy history through trash candy. Included in the episode, we got lovers. Everybody's got a lover.
Sometimes a few.
There's court intrigue. There's factions. There's a little true crime. The story really does have everything. Your particular reason why it's a favorite is also the origin of Hug Despenser.
That will be explained when you listen.
So many nicknames in this one that have traveled throughout our Trashy Tudor series on Patreon. I want to mention two quick things, two excellent sources. If you are into podcasts and really like English Queens, I cannot recommend highly enough the Queens of England podcast by a fellow named James Bolton. He is amazing. If you're into England's early queens and want to watch it on television, Helen Castor is your girl. She has made a series called She-Wolves, Early Queens of England that is an excellent source as well.
Is that the biz?
I think that's the business. Get ready for trashy history, y'all.
Get ready for trashy royals, y'all.
Let's go, go, go.
You know what? You should put on pearls,
I should,
Alicia.
They're right here.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, they're on the table.
Why are... I'm not even... You know what?
No, because I had them on for the live show, and I decided not to wear them.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
so
you were like...
got left on the
podcast
table.
Yeah, should I wear these?
And I'm wearing them for Isabella of France.
Okay.
Isabella of France.
Sent Columbus abroad?
No.
No, not New World lady?
Nowhere close to that time period.
Ocean Blue?
Nope.
All of that? Okay.
Nope.
That was 1492. Yeah. When is this?
The early 1300s.
Oh.
We're a little backing up the bus a little today.
Okay, different Isabella then. Unless.
Different Isabella.
She lived a really long time.
Different. She's a vampire.
She's a vampire. I mean, come on. Did she go outside during the day?
Completely.
Does different. The historical no. record show?
Okay, back up the bus.
Okay. Done. I'm going to let you tell your story.
Realign with me. Welcome to Trashy Tudors.
Welcome.
I'm
to
so
Trashy
excited.
Tutors.
This is our kickoff of a month of September Trashy Tutors. And today we're covering Isabella of France, She-Wolf extraordinaire.
Oh.
But this is a pretty fun one. It's not exactly a trashy divorce, but a pretty gruesome murder.
Oh, hey, true crime fans.
We're going to get there. We're going to back up the bus for this one episode by popular demand, because Isabella of France was a queen of England. But revisionist history turned her into She-Wolf of France instead of savior of England as the queen.
Oh, that's fascinating.
This story has your custom made for you.
Well, I have news for you.
Tell me.
Because I knew you were talking about this time period, and there's, I don't know if there's a Black Death tie-in here, but I did go back and listen to the episode of This Podcast Will Kill You about the plague, about the Black Death.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the Little Ice Age.
Which...
I don't have plague.
Ties in.
The plague is at the end of our story.
Okay. But okay. I mean, but it... There's a tie-in.
You can always find a tie-in in Trashy Tutors.
I'm going to sit back and wait for my moment.
Okay.
Like I do.
So we're backing up the bus on this one by popular demand for Alicia to tell one more story about a historic woman trying to do things differently in her own times. And I'm kind of conflicted about this one. I don't know how I feel about Isabella of France. I just listened to Meredith Brooks' Bitch, and I think that's how I feel about Isabella of France. But set in our times, Isabella of France is a badass. Set in her times, it's such a good story. Okay, we're going to go back to the early 1300s in Fast Eddie 2.
Okay, right. So his son was Fast Eddie 3, who ruled England for 50 years and kicked off the...
The Hundred Years' War.
Hundred Years' War.
This episode predates that. So this is the
grandfather of the Lancaster, the original Lancaster and York kinda. Tribes, kind of. Yes. Okay.
This is the prequel to the Hundred Years' War, War of the Roses episode, in depth. Hmm. I talked about this a tiny bit in that War of the Roses ep with Fast Eddie 3. This story is going to end with Eddie 3. The story is about his mom and his dad. So this trashy divorces bingo has everything.
Okay.
You can list a repetition from anywhere in the series and you're going to see it here. So let's time hop back. Isabella of France is born in 1295. Again, no birth date. Because girls, yo, they think it's 1295. She is born into the House of Capet. So her father is Philip IV of France. Her mom is Joan of Navarre.
Okay.
Okay. Her mother, Joan, was married when she was 11 years old to Philip IV. Joan goes on to have three sons. All will be kings of France, just for your knowledge. Charles, Philip, and Louis. wanted to throw out our favorite French names.
Taking a deep breath.
Philip IV of France and Joan of Navarre do have one daughter, Isabella of France, who is going to be Queen of England. So she's born.
Such confusing nomenclature.
Yeah. Her mom, Joan of Navarre, is consort to a powerful king. She does die when Isabella is young, but Isabella knows what court life and what a queen does, what a consort does.
Sure. Like,
she is not an idiot kid. Once her mom dies, she's raised in the Louvre, the Palais de Louvre, by her nurse. She's educated, like, literate and everything, like, which is a big deal for 1300.
Do you think she had to stand in line to see the Mona Lisa?
So, Stacey, I want to talk about your favorite thing. Okay. Land battles in France.
Yay!
So at the time that this is happening,
mm-hmm.
England and France are about to fucking gear it up. But the whole time, we can sum it down to this. They're fighting over four countries. Aquitaine, Gascony, Normandy, and Anjou. Okay? Those four all buffer the coast of England, and those are the territories they're always
right,
fighting.
Right,
right. Okay.
And the cultural distinction between England and France at the time was much less, I gather.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
France is, at that time, going to be seen as definitely more sophisticated.
Sure, but I mean, so the linguistic thing that I learned, and this podcast will kill you, is that the Black Death that swept through in, what, 1350 or something?
Mm-hmm.
The elites in England spoke French. That was the common language of elites at the time, and the Black Death wiped them all out, and the more separated communities in the countryside, you know, had a lower mortality rate in general. And they all spoke English because they weren't.
So I'm going to take you back about 30 years and plant the seeds of why we hate France.
Okay.
No, because like that is certainly, I think there's a certain synthesis level connection to a little bit I found out when you told me about that. We'll talk about it.
Sure.
Okay. Aquitaine, Anjou, Normandy, Gascony.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fight over them for all time. And Isabella's tiny baby hands need some rings.
Sure, sure.
And Fast Eddie I of England, the King of England, Fast Eddie I, and Philip IV make a marriage contract between their kids. Isabella is 3 years old. Fast Eddie II is 11 years older. April 25th is his birthday, because you apparently record the birth dates of, you know, boys.
Boys.
He's a total Taurus. So remember, Eddie I, his dad, is a great warrior. He's called the Hammer of the Scots. This was the king who took the Stone of Scone from Scotland and brought it to Westminster Abbey, who claimed, hey, Scotland is England's too, Eddie I. He's a big fucking deal. Not if you're Scottish. If you were English, Eddie the First is a big deal. If you're from Scotland, you hate him, probably. Okay, but his son, Eddie the Two, is not quite the accomplishment that he is. Even though Eddie the Two is tall and muscular, he has no interest, like his father, in being a warlord. When he goes on campaign with his dad, he travels with a pet lion and a band of fiddlers.
I mean,
this guy is Mr. Good Times.
I bet it was really good for troop morale.
All right, all right, all right.
To have Matthew McConaughey, like, along for the campaign.
So, like, you can't change your character, right?
Can I pet your lion, sir?
Right? Let me fiddle for you and make your lion dance. You can't change your character. And Fast Eddie 1 is like, oh, God, I need to get somebody around to butch you up a little. So he needs him to be better at jousting.
Basically,
masculine,
yeah,
sort of things. Because Eddie the Two, handsome, fair, not really masculine.
Likes dance music and cats.
Disco and cats.
Yeah.
Keep that up. Okay. So you need to be better at, you know, being a dude. So I'm going to hire this guy named Piers Gaveston to teach you. You need to joust for real, son. Now, probably not happily for Fast Eddie the One, Fast Eddie the Two and Piers Gaveston fall in love.
I'm not going to say I suspected that's where that goes, okay, but there you go.
So in 1307, Eddie One is dying, and he gives some final instructions to 23-year-old Fast Eddie Two and says, like, deathbed orders here. Son, 100 knights should crusade carrying my heart, and the army should carry my bones to defeat Scotland, and you are to have nothing to do ever again with Piers Gaveston.
God.
Okay. Deathbed orders. So Isabella, a year after this, in 1308, arrives in England, 12 years old, to fulfill her destiny as Queen of England.
Hooray!
She arrives to marry Fast Eddie the Two.
Fast Eddie Two, who's really into this, I can tell.
He's 24. She's 12. It's January 1308. And the wedding happens the year after Eddie the One dies. And now, because Eddie One is dead, there's all kinds of pressure on Eddie Two.
To make
you
a...
You need to marry. You, yeah, need to procreate. Welcome to the gayest wedding.
To make a union and make an heir.
Well, it's the gayest wedding you've ever seen.
Oh, cool.
Eddie is described as having much passion and little judgment. Isabella arrives. She's the beauty of beauties. Like, she's 12, so it's still all creepy, but she is glowingly praised in the news of the day. And she's bringing some style into England because from the age of 3, she knows what her destiny is. She's going to be Queen of England. So she brings gowns and furs and headdresses and 419 yards of linen. Did Eddie follow his father's deathbed wishes? Not one bit.
Well,
because guess who is wearing her jewels as Queen of England at the wedding and sitting next to the groom at the place of honor at the wedding ceremony?
Is it Piers?
Piers Gaveston?
Gaveston.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say Gascon. I don't know. Clearly.
Piers is wearing the jewels of the Queen of England and sitting next to the groom at the wedding supper.
I think perhaps he misunderstood what the jousting lessons were about.
At her coronation, Piers wears the royal purple and pearls.
Jesus.
Okay. Piers is handsome. He carries in the king's crown to the coronation. He sits with Edward at the banquet. He's written about at the time, he's said to resemble the god Mars. Isabella is nowhere in this picture, and she knows it's fucking weird. Hey, wait a minute. I'm 12, but I'm not stupid. I've been raised in the French court, and her uncles are all there. Her Gasconian, Anjou, Normand, like, all of her uncles come in to witness this.
Not
and
a
they
great
go
look.
Back to France like... Y'all.
Catastrophe.
Okay. It is written about at the Times. I think one of the uncles said this. I do not remember to have heard that one man so loved another. The English nobles finally have gotten what they wanted with Fast Eddie 2, getting married now. They're going to have heirs, but no, you went and pulled this shit? Like, do what you're going to do, Eddie. We all do, but keep yourself in the fucking closet. This story is subtitled Why Closets Are Bad. Also at the same time, don't forget, Eddie the One, Hammer of the Scots, took over all of Scotland. Eddie too is losing it.
Right, right.
It is all, like, it is the nobles are mad.
Yeah,
Eddie too is losing every bit of advances Edward the First has made and more.
Yeah.
Okay. So one day, nobles come on into Parliament. They're armed and they're angry. And they demand that peers be banished and the 21 of us guys should just rule on your behalf. But wait. Story's about Isabella. She's the queen, but she can't do anything about it. She's a fucking kid.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens is they banish peers, but after 2 months, Eddie and peers are back together.
Yikes.
So by 1312, even though the country is pretty much at civil war about this, Isabella, who is 16 by now, is pregnant. And life should be looking up, but nope. She is spending her time as a pregnant 16-year-old following her husband and his lover all around England. They start, she's second, and then an army is following her around them in hot pursuit. The Earl of Lancaster, whose lands are sitting in that border between Scotland, he's King of the North.
Okay.
Earl of Lancaster, King of the North. They want Piers out of the way. Piers takes refuge in Scarborough. Eddie and Isabella take off to York. Piers is starved out at Scarborough, held by the lords, and seized, sentenced to death in a show trial. His head is hacked from his body by the Earl of Lancaster.
Yikes.
Eddie, too, is disconsolate.
So, like, I'm sorry, do you know what he was charged with in the show trial? Like, he was seized and killed because he was the gay male lover of the king.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. That is correct. Earl of Lancaster beheads Piers Gaveston.
So actually,
Eddie the Two is
sounds to me
not
like
happy.
Closets were a really good idea at the time. Like, things are better now in a lot of places.
Okay. So the 12th of November in 1312, same year, Piers is dead. Isabella of France delivers a boy.
Oh, good. Okay.
So now
she's secure.
Yep. She can gain a little power. Mm-hmm. And she wants to not only support her son, but also her husband. So her reputation, at least on the surface, starts as a peacemaking queen. But her husband, Eddie too, is doing everything he can to make sure whatever effort she makes totally back-end and fail because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
In 1314, the Battle of Bannockburn is the biggest defeat ever of an English king. Eddie the Two on the outs. Robert the Bruce reclaims Scotland.
Yeah, there's a Netflix movie, like original movie that came out, I think this year, that may have been called The Outlaw King,
it's been on my list forever.
It's about Robert the Bruce and
well, Robert the Bruce is like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Eddie too, you're a pushover. Your dad, Eddie One, actually, you know, if you want to fast Eddie, like, created Scotland pride and branded the country together pretty quick. Like, rebellion is a pretty good people unifier.
Yeah.
Hot tip. Okay. Robert the Bruce reclaims Scotland. Bannockburn, everybody's cremated. It's 1314. 1315 is the beginning of the Little Ice Age.
According to some measures. But yes,
harvests are failing. Cattle are dying.
Uh-huh.
And the nobles, after Eddie the Two's colossal losses, now the countryside is barren.
Yeah, there's famine. Like people who do survive are malnourished to the point that basically when a highly infectious communicable disease like bubonic plague hits a few decades later, the population is ripe to be infected.
The nobles blame this on his extravagance and lack of direction, but I think we know
what
it was blamed on.
Yep.
A climate change. Like, Jerry Falwell's not new.
Right.
Neither is Swagger. Neither any of those fuckers who blame natural disasters on homosexuals.
Yep.
Don't get me Julie Sugar-Bakered up. Okay.
As Dorian is figuring out where it's going to hit next.
So, Bannockburn, 1314, a disaster. Little Ice Age. The country's fucking falling apart. And those guys who went in and stormed Parliament are like, okay, the grown-ups are in charge now.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. So, Earl of Lancaster is in charge. He dispenses 10 pounds a day to Fast Eddie, too. He is on a tight and fast allowance.
10 pounds a day at the time, though, had to be. That's got to be. That's like when the banks put Trump on a $450,000 a month allowance, right? Whatever.
10 pounds a day. But the Earl of Lancaster is dispensing it. Things are actually kind of under control.
Right.
For the first time in a minute. But there's going to be a new favorite that's going to make Piers Gaveston look like a fucking Care Bear.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So Fast Eddie, too, just biding his time. Revenge best served cold. Buddies up with the one remaining noble family who doesn't care that he's gay. The Dispensers. Hugh Dispenser.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
D-I-S-P-E-N.
D-E-S. P-E-N-C-E-R-S.
Okay, so it's... Okay. Dispensers?
Dispensers, yeah.
Love it.
Hugh Dispenser, which may or not be the lineage of Diana Spencer's family.
I was going to say, yeah.
I've already looked it up. Some people say, sure, we can get it back there. And some people say, that's all crap. I may follow up on it one day.
Yeah.
I've got the research. It's kind of
anyway, but they've dispensed with their bigotry, more or less.
Well, they also see that, okay, there are a bunch of ways this could go. There's an elder Dispenser. Like Grandpa Dispenser and then Hugh Dispenser. And Hugh's a little younger, and maybe Fast Eddie too just really has a crush on him. And they're not lovers, but maybe they are lovers.
If my last name was Dispenser, all of my pets would be named things like Food. It's Food Dispenser. That's ATM over there. It's a Money Dispenser.
So the Dispensers were in the camp that supported Piers Gaveston. So again, some historians claim Fast Eddie 2 and Hugh were not lovers. Some claim they totally were. I don't know if Hugh is just riding it for what he can take, but this family are enriching themselves to the 1,000%.
Cool.
Okay. So Hugh Dispenser, maybe Fast Eddie's lover, maybe not. Isabella ends up having two more kids. The Dispensers are using their access to build up power and wealth.
What if the pronunciation at the time wasn't Hugh, but was more like Hug, and he's a Hug Dispenser?
Oh my God. In 1321, the lords, the nobles, are fucking done with this. And they're threatening violence. Isabella has a fourth child. She, again, is playing peacemaking queen. She negotiates a temporary truce. But in 1321, she's on her way to pilgrimage in Canterbury. And she stops at Leeds Castle near the Kent coast. And she's seeking shelter. And if the queen comes to your house and you're a fucking noble, you open the gate and give the queen shelter.
Yeah.
But the dude who lives there is a like noble enemy. And he's not there, but his wife is. And she's like, hey, Isabella, my mat does not welcome you. And Isabella is left in the cold, and she's kind of pissed, and she orders her men to force themselves in. The defenders of the castle naturally shoot on her men, leaving six of her dudes dead.
Good lord. Actually, Eddie, bad lord.
Eddie, too, is pissed.
I would think.
And
it's too bad he sucks at the military stuff.
He just starts locking up noble women and children and, like, slaying lords. This is treason.
Wow.
This is treason. And the wife eventually throws open her gates as Eddie's coming to get her to beg for mercy. She and her kids are thrown in the tower. All of her men are hung from Leeds Castle walls.
Shit.
Okay.
Hey, Trash Pandas. Stacy here to share my latest take a mental breather from your day find. Two Dots. Two Dots is a free-to-download puzzle-based mobile game where you connect dots in relaxing puzzles while unlocking levels and collecting treasure and prizes along the way. Connect at least two adjacent dots of the same color to make a move, and remember, dots can connect horizontally and vertically, but never, ever diagonally. And as engaging as the main puzzles are, there are also side quest game modes like the scavenger hunt, where you find hidden objects amidst riotously colorful art, and classic adventure game vibes in the arcade. Each fun and relaxing Two Dots puzzle offers a new gameplay experience, plus the chance to collect trophies, medals, and other souvenirs of your adventures. As you advance through the levels, you'll earn various power-ups and special dots with new effects, like erasing all dots of a certain color or clearing a row and column simultaneously, and the colorful visuals find the perfect balance between stimulating and soothing.
Two Dots is free to download, and you can play even when you're offline. Make it a party by challenging your friends on Facebook. If you're ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the opposing lords now know that Fast Eddie the Two is going to kill you. He has bided his time long enough, and now he wants to enact his revenge.
He is not taking your shit anymore.
He ends up defeating and capturing the Earl of Lancaster.
So this relationship with Hug Dispenser really, really emboldened him.
Well, Hug Dispenser, this is reported as well, like maybe or maybe not Edward's lover. But it is also reported at the time he sexually assaulted Isabella of France.
Wow.
So Hug Dispenser is a real asshole.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Wait on it. Eddie and Hug Dispenser are so busy fighting their own battles that Isabella ends up getting captured by the Scots, which leads to two of her ladies in waiting getting killed. And she ends up only escaping, hold on, with the Flemish Navy. Because Fast Eddie 2 and Hugh don't come to her aid, like failure to assist.
Shout out to my Dutch and Belgian folks.
Nah, fuck. Isabella's done. At this point, Isabella is over it.
Yeah, no, she's jumped a ship and she's out of there.
Okay, but remember, the king has captured the Earl of Lancaster.
Right.
And Eddie's like, psh, behead him. Just like he did with Piers. And the Earl received measure for measure.
Hacked his head off.
So prisons are filling with wives and kids of rebels. It's fucking bedlam. Hug Dispenser, as much a misnomer as it is kind of ruthless. And like tyranny is happening in the country. And Isabella's like, oh my God, I'm done with this. Also in 1324... there's a crisis in England and France, and they're fighting over Gascony and what's going to war. And it turns out that the English government, Eddie the Two, decides all French people living in England are the enemy. You have your lands taken from you. Isabella has her lands taken. Her maids are fired. Her kids are taken from her. If you're French in 1324, you had to GTFO England. Like, you were a nothing. You divided the wall between the French and the English living in England.
These people really knew how to...
Black Plague tie-in.
Knew how to run economies, didn't they?
Okay. So, Isabella... So
early Brexit, basically.
Okay. Who's lost everything. Her mistrust has turned to...
rage.
Hatred. Loathing. You may consider them separated. Isabella's fucking done. In this war-ish with England and France and Gascony, her brother is the French king, and he's willing to negotiate. And Isabella, like, tells Eddie the Two, like, don't worry, dude, I got you. He's my brother. I can totally go to France. I'm a peacemaking queen.
Right, right.
What have I ever done to prove to you that I'm different? Then, of course, I'll go over and negotiate. You can trust me. So in 1325, Isabella leaves for Paris. She does negotiate a treaty. And in that treaty, she sends a little letter over to England like, hey, Fast Eddie 2, can you go ahead and send our 12-year-old Eddie 3 back over to France to seal the deal? Like, I kind of promised my brother that the heir to the throne would come over and bow and stuff, you know, just to make it formal. And sure enough, Fast Eddie 3 comes on over. And with him there,
right,
her position is transformed.
Right, right.
With her son.
She's got the future king of England hanging out with her.
Whatever the fuck she wants. Well, little Eddie 3, when he comes over, has a little note on him like Paddington Bear.
Are you exaggerating or is that true?
No.
Okay. He's sent with letters for whatever.
We're calling him Hug Dispenser. We're just being silly now.
This is drunk history, except we're not drunk, so.
Not yet. Okay, so Eddie 3 comes over with a little Paddington Bear note.
Sure.
Hey, thanks, Isabella. You can come on back now.
Oof.
Thanks a bunch. And I need to tyranny some more. And I need you here because you're really my best foil to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, I mean, he needs a beard.
Yeah. Isabella has no intention of going anywhere.
Why would she?
She even writes about it.
Sounds like Hug Dispenser is a fucking nightmare.
No, she's like, I will not come back until this intruder is removed from my marriage.
Hmm.
So when you hear like Diana, Princess Diana, talking about there's always been a third person in our marriage, wasn't the first time.
Right.
Until Hug Dispenser's out of the way, I'm not fucking coming back to England. Okay. So the PR play she has going on is that she's a wronged wife.
She is.
Which she really, really is, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
She's the wronged wife and she is she has everybody's sympathy of, we all know the real deal, Isabella, and we're really sorry that this king turned out to be such a fruitcake and God, poor you. But it's not going to go great for her because she does something to spoil this good PR play she has.
Okay.
She falls in love with a dude named Roger Mortimer, who is a soldier and a politician. He was one of the rebel noble lords in England. He escaped into exile into France. And like a week after their meeting, they are in love. They are like the Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton of the 13th century.
Is he Roger Lord Mortimer? Because I feel like in A Knight's Tale, there is a loud announcement of Roger Lord Mortimer.
There are Mortimers that are very important that he's connected to, yes. But he does.
I'm gonna have to watch that movie now.
Okay. God, Knight's Tale is the best movie.
It's a great movie.
It is not historically accurate, but very fun.
He got to joust for real.
He did get to joust for real. Okay. So they have the greatest love affair of the 14th century. Like they are written, it is all consuming, all passionate. But the problem is a queen can't commit adultery, right? Can't do this. So she, Isabella, hanging out in France, she's now allied with a warrior nobleman. She has her son at her side, and she ends up negotiating the marriage of Eddie the Three to Philippa of Hainault and uses the Hainaultian army to go back to England with Roger Mortimer and her son and the fucking army of his new bride.
And the nobility hates Eddie too at this point.
That's it. So she comes back to England and she's greeted with open arms. Like, while there was no alternative, the people couldn't resist. But now Isabella is going to claim the throne
right. For
Fast Eddie with, 3.
Yeah, she's bringing a credible king.
She becomes England's champion, the savior of England.
She's going to take out Hug Dispenser.
She does. She gets her kids back. She's the savior of fucking England. Eddie and Hug Dispenser pack their horses full of gold and flee. But they're captured. And Hug Dispenser is brought before Isabella. And she relishes her revenge. He is disemboweled and castrated while still alive.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of, the castration part at least is, I think, the fantasy of many, many women who've dealt with assault by.
I do not feel ashamed.
Modern day Hug Dispensers.
Just saying. So Isabella is really acting like a king. Anyone who is opposed, because now she is technically the claimant for her son. And anyone who is opposed to her, she is fucking brutal with. So what happens to Fast Eddie 2? It takes her 4 months to conquer England in the name of Fast Eddie 3. Fast Eddie 2.
It's like lightning speed.
Oh my God. Okay. Fast Eddie 2, there has never been a king. So remember all the problem with Matilda and her cousin Stephen coming and anointed king and we can't depose him.
Right. Anointed by God. So it can't be.
Fast Eddie 2 has to sign his own abdication.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They have him holed up in a castle, and in the time they have, they just want him to die, right? So at first he's kind of treated really well, but his treatment steadily goes downhill. 3 plots to liberate him have been uncovered, and now they're just like, fuck, Eddie the Two, you need to die. Okay, so they're not going to let Isabella necessarily rule in her own right. But Fast Eddie 3 is now 14, and she can rule in his name for a hot minute.
Sure.
Eddie the Two locked up. His staff of office is broken. And as great as his treatment starts out in the beginning, by the end, he's denied clothing. He's denied sleep. Like, licking soup off the floor.
Right,
like, could you just die as quickly as possible,
trying to torture
please?
Him to death, basically.
And Isabella's actually mad that the guards are treating him so lightly. Why isn't he dead yet? Okay. He is murdered in his bed. His death is announced, but never explained. Legend says that a red-hot poker was inserted into his anus.
Mm-hmm. I've heard this story.
To
punish his gayness.
Cook him alive. Yeah.
So he was actually tortured to death, most likely.
He was brutally and illegally deposed. And killed. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
I mean, it sounds like he was kind of a shit king, but, you know, that's rough. That's a rough end.
So because his death was announced but never explained.
Sure.
Isabella and Roger Mortimer are now in charge of the country in the name of Fast Eddie 3, who they pretty much keep prisoner. They end up serving about 4 years, but they are becoming super unpopular just as much as her tyrant dead husband was. She is totally going for her own power and wealth. There is no limit to what she's rewarding on herself, as well as Roger Mortimer. Like, pretty much the content of the royal treasury. So new guy, same as the old guy.
Yeah.
There is brutal suppression in the land. Don't forget, we're in the Little Ice Age too. And they keep Fast Eddie the Three on the hook. They monitor everything he does. He has no freedom. Christopher Marlowe says that he is a lamb encompassed by wolves. This is Christopher Marlowe writing a few hundred years later.
But, okay.
By 1330, it is said that Roger Mortimer's word is more important than the king's. They're all holed up at Nottingham Castle, and Isabella and Roger are already kind of suspicious because Eddie the Three, who's 18 now, is, you know, kind of resisting.
Yeah, credibly ready to be in power in his own
right.
Way, yeah.
They redouble the guards, but Eddie the Three has made some secret plans, and he's going to use those secret tunnels to move his guys in.
Hmm.
His army sneak in, and faster than Isabella and Roger know it, they're done. They're captured. They capture and kill immediately Roger Mortimer.
Wow.
He is hanged at Tyburn, like, within a week. Like, it's quick.
So Edward III effectively kills his own stepfather and captures... I mean, I don't know what happens to his
we're
mother.
Gonna talk,
I'm sure.
We're going to talk about it.
So he captures his mother and stepfather, basically.
Captures his mother and beheads his stepfather with, like, a quickness that made Roger Mortimer's head come off.
Ah,
his head spin. Ah, there you go.
Okay.
Now, Isabella, who is still a realist, no public traces of her grief are shown. But she is sent into confinement for the next 30 years.
Yikes.
Her estates are surrendered. Fast Eddie III, because she is his mother, gives her £3,000 or £4,000 a year. I've seen the amount differ. with the strict instructions that she cannot intervene in politics, and you are retired, mother. You are retired. You can stay here in this castle. I will provide for you in the luxury in which you have become accustomed, but you need to stay the fuck out of it, and you're barely alive. As it is, don't test me. Isabella spends the next 30 years hanging at that castle. She ends up getting super religious, and her daughter Joan, known as Joan of the Tower, she was born in the Tower of London, who was married to a Scottish king, totally new name for you, Stacey, David II.
Yay!
Well, David II was kind of an unfaithful jerk. So Joan of the Tower,
fresh name, that's all,
comes on over to join her mom, Isabella of France, in confinement.
And Isabella's mother was Joan, yes?
Yeah,
so,
Joan
okay.
of Navarre.
There you go.
Isabella of France dies in 1358 at the age of 63. Oh, this is stone cold, man. She is buried in the clothes she wore on her wedding day, so many, many moons ago.
Good Lord.
And also,
she was 12.
In her hands.
She could still fit in her... Man.
She is buried with the cold, dead, shriveled heart of Edward II.
Really?
Yep.
Was that an insult or did she want that?
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a mother undercover. Those aren't the right words,
nope.
But I just saying. Okay. So once Roger Mortimer is beheaded and Isabella is removed from power, now we pick up with the 100 years. Like Fast Eddie 3 is going to have a 50-year reign of...
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, super successful. But I mean, like, you know, fighting...
Law and proper government have resumed. Now, go over to the 100 Years War of the Roses episode to catch up on the rest. But the thing that's interesting to me about Isabella of France is in revisionist history, a generation later, she is cast as a Jezebel. She is cast as a she-wolf. And it's, oh, poor Fast Eddie 2. Wasn't he done wrong by this mean girl? She's a sex goddess and a slut and a harlot. And all these hindsight opinions get created about Isabella of France when at the time she was the fucking hero of England.
Right.
But male revisionist history
sure
will recast her as the she-wolf of France. And the thing, I guess, okay, this is next level shit, but Isabella finally gets power and is just as violent and self-serving as the men that she replaced, which, I don't know, this boggles sort of my brain because you kind of have these questions on female leadership. Like,
right.
Let's let women rule because they're going to do it differently. But Isabella actually has a 4-year regency to rule and is equally, if not more, ruthless than the men she's playing with. And I guess that's my wall of time that I have to get over because I'm trying to place her in a very medieval age into a modern context.
I mean, it's not like Margaret Thatcher ran a soft and cuddly government. Like,
it's true. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I'm so I love Isabella France's story. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
It
does. It does have quite a bit of everything.
It trashy divorces bingo.
Yeah,
I hope you yelled it at the disco parlor. That's Isabella of France. What'd you think?
Woo!
Had everything.
It's good. I like that you're surfacing these stories of powerful women from a time when we just don't think of women as being powerful back then, but there were...
They're not given a whole lot of place in the history books.
No, but it sounds like they...
Made shit happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So...
They found their toeholds.
The next three episodes in September are going to be way more super Tudor era focused. I have some super doozies coming your way. And I really want to make sure I stick the landing on some Tudor magic before we launch into our new limited series, Side Chicks, every Wednesday starting October the 2nd. I'm so excited. But I'm not going to leave you hanging for trashy Tudors because I have Imago next week and you don't even know how good it's going to be.
Cool. Are you going to preview the names or are you just teasing that it's still happening? It's okay. You don't have to.
I don't know. Do y'all want to know? Does everyone yell at me? Okay, next week on the lineup, because I'm super excited. I can't stand it.
Okay.
Isabella of Spain, Catherine of Aragon, and Mary I of England, Bloody Mary.
Wow.
Oh, Imago. And the grandma, mom, daughter. And they're, I don't know, I may cut that. I don't know. I'm excited about this one.
Cool.
You thought the Judds were something.
I did.
Wait until you meet these three gals.
All right.
That's Trashy Tutors, y'all.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Yeah.
Let me know what you thought.
Yeah, more next week.
Oh, my God. So much more next week.
So much Tutor trash to come.
Keep it Tutor trashy, y'all. Cheerio.
Bye.
Bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram, and definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.